Alrighty, so let me get right to it tonight. It's good to see everyone on Sunday night. I started 2 weeks ago a message series entitled Thank You, The Power of a Grateful Life. And truly there is something powerful about a grateful life. Now the first sermon I preached a couple weeks ago was two words that can change everything. And those two words were thank you. Say that with me. Thank you. In other words, the one only came back to give thanks, and out of the 10, and that one person got more than the other 9, and it changed his life. Last Sunday night, I mentioned to you, you don't need to complain because ... So I gave you 4 reasons why you don't ever need to complain. God is in control. Say amen. God's promises are true. Say amen. God knows my trouble. Say amen. And heaven is my future. Say amen. But tonight I want to conclude this 3-part. We are on the verge or on the week of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving week. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the superheroes of Thanksgiving. Would you stand and turn to Psalms 92? Psalm 92 tonight. Thank you so much. We will not be having church Wednesday night, so enjoy time with your family and your friends. And I am going to sit home and do N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Pull out your tissues. I have to do 9 hours on Thanksgiving at Best Buy and 9.5 on Friday and 8.5 on Saturday. Don't you feel sorry for the pastor up here? Psalm 92:1. Amen. I love getting to the heat of those customers and we just have a good time. I make it fun. Amen. I make it fun. And every now and then I'll get a customer that you know is a Christian and we'll start sending coded messages because they don't know if I am and I don't know if they are. And then before it's over with, we're like, I knew you was a Christian. Amen. Psalm 9, you can't hide it, can you? Amen. And I want a lot of Christians to come on Thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 92. I know they will. Psalm 92 in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. Let's read that out loud together. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Lord, help us to hear the word of the Lord. Anoint, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking nice. And tell them you're glad to see them here tonight. And give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Now, when we think about the subject of Thanksgiving, there are many different avenues and ways we could talk about Thanksgiving. You know, we could talk about the admonition or the encouragement to give thanks. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. It says to give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Psalm 136 verses 1 through 3 also tells us. Psalms 136, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, O give thanks to the Lord. You get the drift? You get the drift? Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Now, over in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always. Say that with me. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 that our pastor has already alluded. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, read it out loud. In everything, give thanks. For what? This is the will of Christ, God in Christ Jesus, concerning you. Say concerning you. I want you to know God's concern about you. And for that, we can give him thanks. But not only the admonition to give thanks, there are the benefits of giving thanks. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. May I remind you? Proverbs 17 and verse 22 says, A merry heart doeth good like a... And some of you are needing to refill. It's run out. You need to wait in line at Walgreens and find out what you need to do to get back on a merry heart. Your day tends to go in the same direction as the corner of your lips. There are physical and spiritual benefits to having a attitude of gratitude. And then I could talk to you about how that we have a one day set aside for Thanksgiving and we've just about forgot it, you know, and I'm all for Christmas early and I like to, I don't mind putting up a Christmas tree before Halloween. I don't care. Really, for a Christian, Christmas can be celebrated all year long. Amen. So, but, you know, in all of this, we don't need to forget Thanksgiving. But in the truth of the matter is, Thanksgiving for the child of God, like Christmas, is every day. And you know, really what we ought to do is reverse it. We ought to have a National Complain Day. Well, we take one day a year and complain from the time we get out of bed all the way through lunchtime, complain for the afternoon, skip the soap operas, and complain on your way back to work, from work. When you get home at night, complain some more. And when you pull up your sheets, complain about how itchy they make you feel, and go to sleep complaining. And then for the next 364 days, wake up saying, "Good morning, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory. And I give you..." We ought to do it all the time. Somebody say amen here tonight. Oh, and think about how many things we have to be thankful for. Amen. Running water. Aren't you thankful that you, do you know many countries don't even have running water? Their running water is running to the river to get water. Oh, I know that we have politicians and people get upset about this political situation, that political situation, but be reminded that we at least we have elections. Oh, thank God if the wrong person gets in there, bless God, we got a few more years, we can vote them out. Say amen. We've got freedom, everyday things. Why don't we just take a praise break? Why don't we just clap our hands? We've got so much. I said we've got so much. Just think of our health care. You say, "Well, I'm dealing with sickness." Do you know that there are places in the world they don't have medicine for anything? Even if we have a sinus headache, we can at least take some ibuprofen. Amen. And there's people in the world that's never had all of the blessings and the benefits that we have. And so we ought to be thankful. Amen. I said, thank you will change your life. The power of a grateful life. Can you say amen tonight? But tonight, I want to close this series by talking to you about superheroes. Superheroes. Now, this generation, now I'm looking across the congregation tonight, and you're probably not into the superheroes, but people younger than me, and I'm 48, are really into superheroes. Now, I was, when I was a young man, Superman and different ones, Batman and different ones, and there was the Marvel comics and the DC comics, I checked, and there has, in the last 10 years, one blockbuster movie after another. I'm still on Star Wars, but everybody's moved on, which is now reinvigorated with new Star Wars movies. Oh, thank you. The Marvel movies, I count as about over 20 of those movies. And I mean, they are blockbusters. The first one was Captain America. Captain Marvel, just came out, but it's actually number two in the series. Thor and Spider-Man and Superman and all of these. These characters are larger than life. They have special abilities to do a lot of good. But tonight, I want to talk to you not about the ability to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I don't want to talk to you about the ability to do great feats or to move in might. I want to talk to you about another type of superhero. I want to talk to you about the superheroes of Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you about different ones that I've run across in history and in the Bible who were extraordinarily into the spirit of gratitude and appreciation above the norm. And they could be classified not as just a hero, but as a superhero. Not the average, not the ordinary. I find that most people are in one of two categories. Some people are like this lady here. Now, thinking about superheroes, people are normally in one of two categories. Normally, some people are overly unthankful or overly pessimistic. Have you been around, or do you know people, or do you live with people who seem to be a little bit on the pessimistic side? Now, don't say amen if you live with your spouse there just like that. Now, be careful. Be thankful for what you got. Amen. Reminds me of this lady. She constantly complained about everything. At last, her preacher thought he had found something about which she would be happy. And so for her farm crop, he discovered was the finest for miles around. This is years ago. And he thought, she ought to be happy about that. And so when he met her, he said with a beaming smile, "Oh, sister, you must be very happy. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." And the lady fired back and said, "Yeah, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do? What am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed the pigs?" Complaining about a good crop of potatoes, but what am I going to do when I need a bad one? Oh, man, friend, we don't need to be pessimistic. Amen. And sometimes people, it's hard for them to show their appreciation. Somebody said the hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. There are people who are chronic complainers, or there are people who are passive in their appreciation. They're appreciative, but they're passive into it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we don't need to be passive in our praise and our thanksgiving. We need to be responsive, and we need to be expressive in everything. Lift up your hands. Praise Him. Give Him verbal praise. Somebody say amen here tonight. And I want to tell you about some superheroes that did just that. I want to tell you about people who excelled at Thanksgiving. Let me give them to you here tonight. The superheroes of Thanksgiving. Are you ready for them? Say amen. Number one, the pilgrims. The pilgrims. Now, if anyone would be considered the superheroes of Thanksgiving, we would have to say the pilgrims. Do you know why the pilgrims left England and Europe? Do you know why? They left because they could not worship God freely. In those countries, you had to be a member of the state church. And if not, you were persecuted at worst, or you were overlooked at best. But the pilgrims came, they boarded the Mayflower, and folks, we need to teach this to our kids, because they have stopped teaching about the pilgrims. They're teaching children that the white man came and kicked the Indians off and how terrible we are. That is not what happened. If you took all of the Indians that lived on this continent, you could put them probably in eastern North Carolina alone. Let me tell you something. The best thing that ever happened is when God sent our forefathers to this country, and He raised up a country. Did we treat some people wrong? Yes. Is slavery wrong? Absolutely. But God worked above that and beyond that. And today, thanks be to God, we've eradicated those injustices. And I thank the Lord that we have freedom here today for every color, every person. It's not perfect yet. It'll never be perfect till we get to heaven. Glory to God. But we can rejoice in how far we've come. I want to say glory to God. Thank God for the pilgrims. Thank God that He sent them here to worship God in freedom. Don't let the news media tell you the pilgrims came to kill people and to do this and bring up Christopher Columbus. Now, his guys were bad. Now, they didn't come from England. They came from Spain. Glory to God. Now, they did some bad stuff there. But guess what? God worked beyond that. Can I get a witness out here? The point I'm trying to tell you is that the pilgrims came. And here in 1623, they had a terrible winter. Their number went from 102 to 46. And then all of a sudden, with the help of the Indians, they were able to harvest a great crop, and God began to bless them, and they had a day of appreciation that we now recognize as the first official Thanksgiving. Their governor did this. He made a proclamation. He said to all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and as much as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship, listen, freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all of you pilgrims, with your wives and little ones, do gather at the meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since we launched on ye Plymouth Rock. And I like this part. And there, listen to ye pastor. Render thanksgiving. Listen to the preacher. Amen. Preach a sermon. Oh, thank God for those pilgrims that gathered. I would say they're superheroes for braving the elements and rendering thanks to God. Come on and praise Him tonight for the superheroes. God bless those pilgrims, and we have the nation that we have tonight. Amen. Another superheroes, or some more superheroes, would not only be the pilgrims, but some presidents. Some presidents. Two in particular. There have been 45 presidents of the United States, number 45 serving now. But I want to talk to you about the first president, George Washington, who was a great man. I've been to Mount Vernon. I've been into his home and I saw the room where he passed away. And I know some of you don't like history, but you know what? Just think of history as this, his story. Amen. Because we look back in history and see how God moved upon our first president. He made it official in the United States. He made a proclamation of thanksgiving. It was observed on different dates and in different ways, but he said we're going to have a day set aside for thanksgiving. I say President George Washington is a superhero when it comes to thanksgiving. And then President Abraham Lincoln. What a great man. If ever a man came for such a time as this, and on our 25th wedding anniversary, I went to Ford's Theater where he was assassinated, and I stood to where he was shot, and then we went across the street, and we were literally in the room where he died. What a great president that he was! And he wrote this. He wrote a White House proclamation calling on the whole American people to observe the special day of Thanksgiving, and he made it official the last Thursday of November. And ever since then, every president following Abraham Lincoln has issued a proclamation designating the fourth Thursday as an official day of Thanksgiving. Oh, I say to President Abraham Lincoln, you are a superhero, and we give honor for God using our presidents to lead us in the right way. Come, can you say amen tonight? Not only pilgrims and not only presidents, but preachers. There's been some preachers who I have called are superheroes in Thanksgiving. One was John Wesley. You ever heard of John Wesley? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of him. Amen. Yes, he's made an impact. You ever heard of the Methodist Church? Let me see. Amen. He founded the Methodist Church. And when he was a young student in college, in seminary, in fact, when John Wesley came upon one of the college porters, which we would call today maybe a custodian or a janitor, and he was working one lonely, late, and dreary night, Wesley noticed that he was working outside on a cold night and wearing only a light coat. And John Wesley said to him, "Go home, sir, and get another coat." And the porter said, "This is the only coat I have in the world, but I thank God for it." He said, well, sir, go home and get your supper. He said, "I've had nothing to eat today, but I have had a drink of water, and I thank God for it." And then John Wesley said, "Well, it is late, and you'll be locked out. And then what will you have to thank God for?" He said, "Sir, I will thank Him that I have the dry stones to lie upon." And John Wesley, this young, emerging, great preacher, it impressed him so much. He said to the porter, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank Him for?" The porter replied, "I thank Him, sir, that He has given me my life and my being, a heart to love Him, and a desire to serve him. That's a superhero. And the next time your iPhone crashes and you come out to Best Buy and try to haggle me and tell me how bad life is, I want you to remember the superheroes of Thanksgiving. Come on and give the Lord a praise here tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We complain so much. And then I think about Matthew Henry. Have you ever heard of Matthew Henry? Raise your hand. He wrote a 6-volume Bible commentary that is the most selling Bible commentary in the history of Christianity. Matthew Henry is one of the godliest men. And if you read his commentary, just a few paragraphs, you'll feel like you've been to church. He wrote it in the 1600s. And it's still, because God's word is always alive. And Matthew Henry, was once, assaulted by thieves, and they robbed him of his money. And Matthew Henry wrote in his diary, now listen to this, after he got assaulted by thieves, he said these words, quote, "I am so very thankful. First, because I was never robbed before." Now that's a good way of looking at it. He's like, I've been all my life and never been robbed up until this day. And I'm thankful that I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, I am thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. That's a superhero. Amen. Oh, thank God for those preachers, John Wesley and Matthew Henry. But let's go back even earlier than that. His name is Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest preachers, if not the greatest preacher ever. Paul the Apostle, he is a superhero. Why do you say this? Because look back at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look back. It is he who told us that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This man who suffered, this man who was in a shipwreck, this man who was bitten by a snake, this man who was lied upon, betrayed upon, this man who was scourged with 39 lashes like Jesus himself, this man who had lifelong friends to leave him and betray him. This man who had been through hell and back. He also went to heaven and back, praise God. But I want you to know that despite all of his hardships, he said these words, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he said, it's God's will. Say that with me. It's God's will. Some people think that God's will is just going on the mission field or preaching in the pulpit or doing some work of charity. But this is the will of God. Give thanks unto him. So if you're not giving thanks, then you're not in the will of God. Look at what he said in Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. But I said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything. And how much? In what? Everything by prayer and supplication with, let your request be made known unto God. In other words, don't just make a request unto God. Thank God and then make a request. And what do you say? What do you mean by that? I really have a need. And I'm going to say, God, I need this. No, this is what you do. You come to God and say, God, I thank you for what I already have. And God, I thank you that you're going to hear my prayer because you said you would. And Lord, here's my need. And then this is what you do. I thank you that you're going to supply all my need according to your riches and glory. Now, he may not get you out of trouble, but he'll come to get into trouble with you. How about that? Amen. Has he ever come to get in trouble with you? Amen. I know there's going to be trials. I know there's going to be tests, but be thankful. Paul was a superhero. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And you know, when you're praying, you know what will keep you awake while you're praying? Have you ever got a little sleepy while you were praying? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Some of you look sleepy right now. It's been a long day. Oh. But sometimes when you get to praying, sometimes you get a little sleepy. But I'll tell you what energizes my prayers. And I do this in my personal prayer time. It's Thanksgiving. I'm just saying, thank you, Lord. I thank you for everything. I've already told you that in the other two sermons. I thank him for eyesight and walking and talking. And I tell you, once you begin to get in a spirit of thanksgiving, your prayers will wake up. Your prayers will liven up. And so thank you, Paul. Thank you, Matthew Henry. Thank you, pilgrims. Thank you, presidents. Thank you, preachers. But let me begin to bring this to a close by talking to you about the greatest superhero of all. Who of all do you think would be the greatest of the greatest? You know, is it Superman? Is it Batman? Is it the Incredible Hulk? Is it Matthew Henry? Is it Jerry Nelson or Ricky Nelms? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest superhero. Thank God for the pilgrims, the preachers, the presidents, but the greatest superhero of Thanksgiving is our provider. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, he is the ultimate superhero of Thanksgiving. My friend, think about Jesus. He left glory. Now, it's one thing for us to go from earth to heaven. You know, death, we all struggle with death, and we all fear death. We don't want to die, and because of the pain or whatever, the unknowing and all of that. But when we do die, oh, let me tell you, the first half of a second after death, we are in realms of glory and celestial glory, streets of gold, gates. I have not seen, oh, we cannot even fathom just a foretaste of glory divine. And it's one thing for us to leave the surly bonds of earth where there's sickness, disease, poverty, where there's death and demons and destruction. And we leave this world and we go to that other world where the wicked cease their trouble and the weary are at rest. Oh, my friend, that's a wonderful thing to think about. I am looking forward to heaven. We're going to sing about heaven. Praise God, I'm going to heaven. I'm going at 48, or I'm going at 98, or I'm going at 108, or I'm going at 7. I don't care, but I'm on my way to Canaan's land. And anybody else on their way? Then you ought to be thankful. But think of the reverse. Jesus didn't go from earth to heaven. He started out at heaven. What a downer. I mean, what a downer. I mean, that's like an American traveling to some foreign country without running water. Shock, shock, shock. I hear missionaries come back, and that's why I feel like the Lord has called me to stay right in Wilson. Amen. No Cracker Barrels over there in Kenya? Oh, my goodness. Please understand that for Jesus to leave the glory and come down to a stable. And you know what? I've heard of missionaries that said things like this. You know, they went and to a foreign country, and they didn't have electricity, and sometimes they would complain about the heat and the cold. Let me tell you something. Jesus left heaven and he never complained. He came to a stable. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. And I want you to know that when you think of how he was persecuted, when you think of how his own family rejected him, when you think about how they tried to kill him, yet through all of this, look at Luke 10 and 21. In that hour, Jesus did what? Rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. What a superhero. Oh, my goodness. What an attitude of gratitude. He's in the midst of trials and tests and demons. And he didn't have to be here, praise God. He chose to be here. And not only did he choose to be here, he chose to be thankful for it. What a hero. How about when he fed the multitude and he broke the bread? Oh, did he just do the miracle? No, go to John chapter 6 and verse 11. I'll tell you, there's an ingredient. I believe that we need to be thankful even before we see prayers answered. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves and he distributed it to his disciples. Is that what it said? Am I missing something? And Jesus took the loaves and what? When he had given thanks. My goodness. Look at even a greater miracle. Go to John chapter 11 and verse 41. John chapter 11 and verse 41. And some of you are thankful I'm looking at my watch. It don't mean anything though, I promise you. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 41. Lazarus is dead. And he's been dead 4 days. John chapter 11 verse 41, and then they took away the stone and the place where the dead was laid. And I can imagine I could imagine you could hear a pin drop. I could imagine you could hear the flapping of the flies' wings. I want you to know that everybody was in rapt attention. Roll away. The stone is rolled away. What is this man going to do? He's standing there. And before he does anything else, he lifts up his eyes and says what? I thank you. We talk about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and he did. But before he said, Lazarus, come forth, he said, God, I thank you. And I believe some miracles will follow in your life when you take on the thanks living and you take on and defeat. You know, the spirit of complaining, it's easy to do. And we can get into a habit. I was reading a book called Atomic Habits, one of the best books I've read this year. Atomic Habits. We just get in a habit of complaining. We complain and we don't even realize we're complaining. We have to work at being thankful. Work. He said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And I want you to know Lazarus came out of that tomb on the wings of a thankful heart and a thankful servant. What a hero. Go to Mark chapter 14, and I'm bringing this to a close. Mark chapter 14 and verse 22. And here he is on the eve of being crucified. Here he is on the eve of being nailed to a cross. Here he is being betrayed by those who loved he loved and worked with. And even by a kiss, one of them did it. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread. This is the first communion. He blessed it and broke it and gave it unto them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and what? And when he had what? He gave it to them and said, drink it. Oh, my friend, before the shadow of the cross, our Lord and Savior, he didn't back up. He didn't complain. He didn't say, what in the world did I get myself into? He said, this is my body. I'm just going to be broken. This is my blood. It's going to be poured out for you, glory to God. And I'm thankful that I can do it, because for God so loved the world, we ought to thank him and praise him and quit your belly aching and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's a way maker and a chain breaker. I'm about to preach tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I've talked about the pilgrims. I've talked about the presidents. I've talked about the preachers, and I've talked about, the provider. Last thought. What about you? What about you? Are you a superhero of Thanksgiving? Well, are you? Do you want to be? I want to be one of those superheroes. Amen. When I was a kid, I used to stand on the side of a bed and I put a towel around my neck like Superman had a cape. And I'd stand on the bed, and I'd have that cape on, and I'd jump off the bed and be like, Mommy, I can fly. Why? Because I wanted to be a superhero. That's why they go to those movies. We like to be inspired. There's something else. We'd love to knock around some bad guys, wouldn't you? People do bad things to people. I want to bring justice to those who are hurting little children. And by the way, people who do bad things, they need grace too as well. They need justice, but they also need mercy. Oh, they need jail time, but they need ministry in jail. Amen. My friend, I want to tell you something. Do you want to be a superhero? Do you want to live 300? I mean, you've got to want this. You've got to appreciate what Jesus did for you. And you say, how can I be a superhero of Thanksgiving? This would be a good time for the piano player to come up. Rudy Kipling, or Rudyard Kipling, was a great writer and poet. His writings have been enjoyed by many. I've never read behind him. I'm just taking the word here that, according to statistics, many have read. Unlike many old writers, Kipling was one of the few who had an opportunity to enjoy his success while he lived. He made a great deal of money at writing. One time a newspaper reporter came to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Now, this is back several years ago. $100, you take all that you've written and all the money that you've made, and every single word that you've written is worth $100. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I wasn't aware of that." So the reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill. And he gave it to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, here's $100. Would you give me a word? One of your $100 words?" And Mr. Kipling took that $100 bill, and the man wanted one word that was worth $100. And he took that $100 bill and he looked at him and he said, "Thanks." Stand with me tonight. Oh, my friend. I don't think thanks is a $100 word, really. I believe it's a $1 million word. Amen. I believe it's an eternal word. Amen. Brother Ray, would you come and let's sing that song again tonight? And I want everyone to join me in the altar. Pastor Jerry, if you'll help me with the altar call. But I want us to give I want a $1 million word tonight. I want us to ask the Lord to help us to be one of those superheroes of Thanksgiving. You don't think you can? Sure you can. Come on up here tonight. Let the Lord change you. Rejoice forevermore. Don't complain. Ask God to give you the attitude of gratitude. Amen. Ask the Lord to help you and give you let me have some microphone, brother.
I am so thankful. I am so thankful. I am so thankful to you.
Come on, lift your hands up and give
you
thanks. Lord.
You are so faithful. You are so good. I am so thankful to you.
Every breath, praise the Lord.
I am so thankful.
Hallelujah.
I am so
give him thanks for everything.
Thankful to be alive. Hallelujah.
For the healing that's coming.
To you.
I thank you, Lord, the best is yet to come.
You are.